We're turning this morning to our study, a new study in the book of Romans, where we have never been before, chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 is the last chapter in Romans, and a very different chapter in many ways from so much of what we have been in Romans, but yet not so different from chapter 14 and 15 that much. So we're going to read here in Romans 16 just a few verses at the beginning. Let us give our attention to this inspired section of Holy Scripture. Romans 16, 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer. That is, she has been a great blessing to many, a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphanitus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the fifth verse. And oh, how we need the help of the Holy Spirit to understand God's Word, to apply God's Word to our lives, so that we may have something of an impact on the world, even as our sister Phoebe had. I trust the Lord will bless us today. We are taking the first two verses. We are considering the biography of our sister Phoebe today. Verses 1 and 2. Although women are not office bearers in the New Testament church, theirs is nonetheless a critical ministry in every century and in every congregation. They are not only the primary caregivers of the children, they also are responsible for feeding hundreds of meals, even the ladies in this house feeding hundreds of meals every year. Many of the details that men often overlook or attended to by the ladies. And so it has been throughout the history of the New Testament church. Ladies have accomplished many great things. Mary birthed our Lord Jesus. Anna announced his arrival in the temple. Women, not men, were the first proclaimers of the resurrected Savior. Tabitha, a female disciple, was full of good works. Lydia of Philippi was the first convert in Europe, and she also provided food and lodging for all of Paul's mission team. Priscilla, the wife of Aquila, helped mentor Apollos into a more correct understanding of the gospel. And you remember it was Lois and Eunice who taught the young man, Timothy, who was to be a great helper of Paul and a pastor. It was his grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice, who taught him those sacred letters of Old Testament scripture. And right down through the history of the church, Christian women have been missionaries, mothers, martyrs, great supporters of God's ministry of the gospel. And Selina, Countess of Huntingdon in England, was known as also as Lady Huntingdon, provided great finances and preaching chapels across England in the time of the great evangelical awakening that actually became over here the first great awakening in the days of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards. And so the Lord does not forget the godliness and the good works of Christian ladies. He records many of them right here in His inspired word. So in these first two verses of Romans 16, we see another woman of wealth that God used, and what she had been given graciously by the Lord, she used for His kingdom and for His glory. Now we're going to use some of the nouns in verses 1 and 2 as our main points. And they all begin with the letter S. So you can see them there. First of all, he says in verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Sister is a very important word. So we're going to do sister as our first point. And then notice, which is a servant. This is a different word for servant. And that's our second point. And then you come to verse 2, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint. Now, she was a saint indeed, but that's included under the term sister. Because a sister in the Lord, a saint in the Lord, holy one, a holy sister indeed. So then we find one more S. She was a succorer. Now, that's a very unusual term. You don't use it every day, so we're going to look at that and try to get a better understanding of it. So those are our three points: a sister, a servant, and a succorer. First of all, Phoebe is a sister. Her name is Greek, and it has reference to the moon goddess Phoebe. Many of the pagan Greeks worshiped the moon. We don't have details of Phoebe's past, but most likely she had become a true child of God by faith in Jesus Christ and had left the natural paganism of her native land. Paul called her a sister, not meaning a member of a human family, but Phoebe was a child of God by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, and by the adoption of God the Father. God her Father, Christ her brother, and all of us believers, brothers and sisters of this sister. Thus she was born into the family of God and is properly called a sister in Christ. She was a member of the church in Cenchrea. Now, it's very interesting here to notice the unifying power of the gospel among the different divisions of mankind. Because here is a Greek being commended by a Jew, Paul, to the Romans. So the gospel brings together the peoples of the world in grace. From every nation, tongue, and people. Hallelujah. Well, she was a member of the church in Cenchrea. Now, Cenchrea was a seaport less than 10 miles from Corinth. And Acts chapter 18 tells us that Paul had spent a year and a half preaching in Corinth. Because God said, don't you worry about these Jews stirring things up, because I have much people in the city. I'm going to be saving a lot of people. So he stayed there. God was saving people in a mighty way for a year and a half. And no doubt, as Paul just cannot be content in preaching in one spot, there's no doubt that he made a circuit around the various towns and villages around Corinth preaching. And so a church was established down in the seaport town of Cenchrea. She was a member of that church and was a servant in that church. Interesting. Now, no doubt, this seaport town was like so many seaports across the world. Corinth was known as a very evil place throughout the Roman Empire for its extreme sexual immorality. So what must have been the seaport of Caesarea, since seaport cities are notorious for every kind of sensual immorality? Men without Christ going all across the world, away from home, living wickedly. But here in that place is this well-known sister, a godly woman that was a blessing to many. Now, a precious soul that was delivered from the filthy corruption of a wicked society, because there in southern Greece, so much sensual, filthy corruption. But Phoebe was not only a sister, verse 1 calls her also a servant. A servant. Now, most of the New Testament uses of the word servant refer to a doulos, a slave. 120 times in the New Testament, when you read the word servant, it is doulos. That is not the word here. The word that's used here is only used 7 times in the New Testament, and this is the last time it's used in the New Testament. And this is a very interesting word. The amazing root of the word is, to me, so picturesque. It means literally one who kicks up the dust. Sometimes little boys, especially, enjoy kicking up the dust. But one who kicks up the dust or stirs up the dust. So what is the word picture from this particular word? It is a servant serving the table and hurrying back to the kitchen so quickly for more dishes of food that the servant was literally kicking up dust. That's the root meaning of the word. Our dear sister Phoebe was that kind of woman. She was serving others. As a Christian, she kicked up the dust, showing hospitality to others. But regarding this letter, Romans, she proved herself to be a most faithful servant. Unlike the Bible on my desk, which is an authorized version of Scripture, just like this one I'm reading from, it doesn't have this little bit after verse 27. But quite a lot of Bibles, the Geneva Bible has it at the end of the chapter. The original authorized version has it. And it's these words, written to the Romans from Corinthus, that is Corinth, and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church in Caesarea. Now, it's a very interesting historical note. And this does make sense, because in verses 1 and 2, Paul introduces her to the believers in Rome. And isn't it most appropriate that she's introduced to them when she gets there? Who is this woman anyway? She was coming to Rome. She came with the letter. Why would he introduce her if she was not arriving at the same time that the epistle arrived? Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse concluded that the parchment that Phoebe carried in her luggage to Rome brought about the 16th century Reformation and still blesses us today, because it was Luther's reading of Paul's letter to Rome that brought about the great change in his life. The light shined in upon him, and then he nailed up those 95 theses. So what a marvelous thing it was. We thank God that our sister Phoebe was faithful in kicking up the dust as she carried the letter in her luggage farther westward into Europe for our sakes, for the sake of the gospel. Isn't that amazing? So Phoebe, our sister, was a servant, but finally, verse 2 calls her a succorer. Now this word succorer is not a word that means merely help. It means a lot more than that. It doesn't just mean giving aid, but the word is literally a patroness. A patroness or a protector. Phoebe had protected many from hunger and from the elements of nature by providing shelter for them. She had done this as the word is in the original, suggesting she had done this frequently and she had done it for long periods of time. This fact, taken together with both verses, reveals that Phoebe was like Lydia, a wealthy businesswoman whose business had taken her on this journey to Rome. Now, if you realize that, it wasn't just like going down to the corner store. For her to go from Caesarea to Rome, the shortest way was going by sea, and it was at least 1,000 miles. If she went overland, it was a lot longer. A woman could not travel in those days that distance by herself. So taking others for her help and safety raised the cost of the already expensive trip quite considerably. Verse 2 states that Phoebe had come on business and needed the assistance of the believers in Rome about her business. Where we get the word pragmatic, the word about her business. Phoebe had proven herself to be worthy of a reception fitting a saint. What does he say there? In verse 2, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. And yet you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer, a patroness of many, a protector of many, and of myself also, Paul says. Now, she had been Paul's helper. She had been one providing for him. This certainly suggests that Paul and his mission team had been fed, sheltered, and also financed by this godly Christian lady. She was using her wealth for the spreading of the gospel and for the extension of the kingdom of grace. Rather than spending her wealth primarily upon herself, she was busily laying up treasure in heaven. Now, the famous Lord Bacon of England said this, "Of great riches there is no real use, except it be in the distribution of it. There is a custody of great riches, but beyond distribution, there is no solid use of them to their owner. Seek not, therefore, proud riches, but such as thou mayest get justly, use soberly, and distribute cheerfully, and ultimately leave contentedly because of greater riches laid up eternally with Christ." What a wonderful quotation. Now, her life was characterized by service. That service was directed especially to other Christians in need. But ultimately, she was doing what she did for the glory of God. These two verses are especially concerning serving others. This is the life of Phoebe, or rather the life of Christ lived out through Phoebe. Phoebe was a servant of the church and a servant to Christ's church. Paul commended her, and what higher praise could a Christian receive? Now, the question is, are we serving ourselves? Or are we serving others as Phoebe did primarily? This is real Christianity applied to our daily living. Now, children, you're included in this. Every one of you children, you can do this in your home. Your parents work to provide for you. So what can you do for your parents? One of the best things that you can do to serve your parents is to honor and obey them. You honor them by obeying them and showing respect and reverence for them. But what can you do for your siblings? This goes for teens, as well as the little children, as well as for all of us. Let us prefer others rather than ourselves. Oh no, there's only one piece left. You go ahead and enjoy it. I'll let you have it. Let us prefer others rather than ourselves. Let us serve others by showing kindness and love. Let us be willing to deny ourselves and promote others. If the world is going to see and know that we are Christians by our love to one another, how will they see that love unless we actively serve one another? We see the example of Phoebe. May the Lord stir us up to greater service in our home and in the body of Christ. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We praise Thee that there are no accidents, there are no chances, there are no just happenings in this world or in Thy word. We thank Thee that the recording of this life of our dear sister Phoebe is for our good. It is for our growth. It is for Thy glory. So, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt write this word even upon the hearts of the little children, that they would prefer their siblings to themselves, that they would indeed honor and obey their father and mother. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt cause each of us to think of ways that we can serve Thee by serving others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.